Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is Whistleblowers, featuring dialysis advocates. My co-host tonight is Arlene Mullen. And Arlene, say hello.
Hello.
And hi. Yes. Go ahead.
You asked for it. Anyhow, I wish to thank you, Marty Oakley and Marcel Reed of the Whistleblowers. It has really helped to get this message out on dialysis patients. And I received information of this gentleman who has been fighting on water issues with full knowledge from the area that is causing dialysis and other health conditions to erupt because of water system. Would you like to come on now?
I'm here.
Okay, just tell us your name, a little bit about you, and how you discovered this, and what was happening, and some information.
I'm Ronald Mixon. And I am a carded Cherokee Indian, and I have a history with the river up here. I put the first Coast Guard-approved boat of any kind, passenger boat, on the river in 50 years. And then, my history with the river goes beyond fishing or hunting, you know, as business. And then I was a commercial diver. And then as a diver, we saw the river dying 20 years ago. And we brought the plants in, TVA in, the cities in, and said, you're killing our river. And if we don't do something now, in 20 years, it will be dead. Well, it's been 22 years, and the river is dead. It's you can't eat the fish out of it. You can't swim in it, you know. And it's the largest freshwater body of water in the southeast, that is, it's the second most contaminated body of water in the United States.
What caused the contamination?
Well, TVA was set up as a monitoring system and as a caretaker of the river when they put the hydraulic dams in,
uh-huh.
to control the water so that it wouldn't flood. They changed their venue as time went on. Now they have steam plants and they have nuclear plants. And really the hydroelectric power is only like 5% of their total revenue coming in. And they have completely forsaken their situation or as their charter, you know, as being a caretaker of the river. They're actually the number one contributing factor to killing the rivers.
All right. And is this your source of drinking water?
Yes, it's the source of drinking water all the way up and down. But in our area, what TVA did is they started allowing plants to come in, and the plants wanted to use the water, and so TVA falsified the records. They weren't actually on the river. They were on the lake, you know, way away from where the river itself was. And so industry says the solution to dilution is pollution is diluted. So you dilute it to the point that it's not dangerous by mixing water, you know, with these chemicals. But they were using a mile marker that was 30 miles upstream, the narrowest point, the shallowest point in the river. And if you didn't know the mile markers, you would say they did this test and you had such water flow and they put a mile marker down there, but it was nowhere near the plants were. So they were falsifying the records, you know, of what the water was.
Oh, wow.
And they had allowed 27 plants to dump toxin into the water on these.
And
beyond that, they stopped that dam. They stopped Wheeler Dam and Wilson, Gunnersville Dam, so that they could hold water to release it during the high part of the day, you know, the high current part. But you've got to realize that this water was less than 0.01%. And they weren't really losing it. They were just making more because they could release it because the water had to go through the hydroelectric pumps anyway. So for just nothing, they killed the river. And they did it, you know, in conjunction with these plants. 27 plants that were at least were allowed to release toxins into the river on bogus permits. And
okay, and
now,
so and some of these plants are nuclear.
Well, the nuclear plant, it's biggest, they're not the ones that are doing the polluting, but it's their controlling of the water and not giving us a water flow when these plants are dumping that is causing these chemicals to float around on the bottom like a big cloud of milk, you know, killing everything that comes in contact with.
I see.
Because
okay.
They dump on a still water.
Oh,
now,
wow.
What we did,
good Lord.
What we did is we saw the river dying, and my biggest concern was the heavy metals. So I went down and talked to the dean at Auburn University. Auburn University is the number one fisheries in the whole world. You know, they're that good. And the dean, the Tennessee River is where he was raised. And so he was, you know, interested into it. But the political system was such that he told me that I needed to do a contract with them in the fisheries department so that when we got started, the hierarchy couldn't stop us because on a legal contract, they had to fulfill it. So that's what we did. And then we weren't even allowed to talk about it for 6 months until it got so far along that they could have been held criminally negligent if they didn't continue the test, you know, that we were doing.
Okay. Okay.
So,
wow.
We were.
Is
we
there
were
any?
Fighting.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. We,
go
you
ahead.
Know, we had to kick every door down we came to. And then we didn't find out about how the kidneys were related to it until somewhat later. I was involved. My concern was the benzos, you know, from the coal, from the lead and from the mercury and from the arsenic and all of the things, you know, that I was familiar with. But
yes,
the scientists were knew about the PFOS, which is your, it's in your Teflon, it's in your wax paper. Now every mammal in the world, including polar bears and nor whales, have, you know, the PFOS and PFOA in them. And they are some of the most toxic chemicals in the world. But all of it is related. If you're pancreas don't work, your kidneys don't work. If your liver don't work, you know, it's part of the filter, your kidneys don't work. So, but we found out that some of these things were cancer causing, like bladder cancer and kidney cancer and other things, and that was your PFOS. But when I went to UAB with Brenda, another advocate, you know, of what we're, you know, fighting this up here, the dean of UAB called in the heads of the department, and I had all of these tests out in front of me. You know, they were looking at them, and the dean was exceptionally smart man. And he looked at the kidney guy, and he says, tell me what you see. And he put his fingers on the test, and it was mercury and calcium. He says, these two are kidney killers. And I said, you mean cancer causers? He says, no, they kill kidneys. The kidneys die, you know.
Oh, my God.
Well, only, you know, when you have these two, you know, together. He said, one of them is bad enough, but together your kidneys actually die, you know. And so they wanted me to get people up here to sign up for it. And so we went on TV and asked people that had, you know, kidney failure to please call and sign up for tests. In the meantime, UAB went back in their own records, and they found out that the two counties up here, Morgan and Lawrence County, had 10 times more kidney problems than all the whole state combined. And so they're doing a two-year study. And so we can't get it until they're done because they want to publish it, you know, because the professors get tenure and everything else, you know, when they publish.
Okay.
But it's a very, very detailed study of the, you know, the pollutants, you know, in the water. And talking to them, there is so many things in the environment out there that is causing the kidney problems, you know, that we're having across the whole country. And what I do you know how some people catch poison oak and some don't?
Yes.
Are you familiar with what poison oak is? You know, it's a gene thing.
Yes.
Well, talking to the ecotoxologist, I said, well, why isn't this like asbestos? He says, well, asbestos is like mesothelioma, one type of, you know, cancer. He said, these chemicals are carcinogenic, which means if your mama and your aunt had breast cancer, you might miss it by eating good and doing this. But if you're exposed to this, it will activate those dormant cancer cells, you know, within your body. Whereas I might have breast cancer, you know, you might have colon cancer, stomach cancer, or whatever, because these chemicals activate the dormant cancer cells, you know, we have within us. And so that was a biggie. Then we found out that as these chemicals attack other organs in your body, your whole body works together, you know, to do things. Now, we found out that in a male, that in these chemicals, that his testosterone levels fall way, way, way out. But now they're correlating the testosterone low levels to diabetes and kidney failure, because if your testosterone in a male is not working, then it's a direct correlation to him developing kidney failure or diabetes. And that's new. I mean, they're just now studying, you know, on that. So they're trying to get the testosterone in older men brought up. And in a lot of cases on type 2 diabetes, they're not even having to take their medicine anymore, just simply by getting the testosterone levels, you know, back up.
Okay.
But
Dr. Moskowitz, have you got anything you can add in here? Something? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Alabama, right?
Yes.
So Alabama has one of the higher rates of diabetic and hypertensive kidney failure anyway, regardless of environmental toxins.
Well, what's happening, doctor, is we have the most mileage of river navigable waterways in the United States, but our state has four of the most polluted rivers in the United States. We also have Millway, Alabama, which is the largest toxic disposable site in the United States, in the little old town down to the side of Tuscaloosa, which is primarily black, and they're having horrible. So it's not just the reason Alabama is having these problems, like you're saying, on the high rate. Is this whole area, through corruption and greed, and the people are finally going to jail, all of our rivers have been polluted. And that's why that we are having these rates like you're talking about, you know, on environmental. It's not just in North Alabama.
You have a whole state of Flint.
Yeah.
So a lot of black people, a lot of kidney failure, a lot of pollution, which is only making kidney failure worse. So you got to look at it from the point of view of the hospital and of the nephrologist. Every person who gets kidney failure brings in $100,000 a year to the nephrologist and hospital system that takes care of them. The dialysis unit, basically. So DaVita for seniors, those are the two biggies. So it's a huge industry.
Well, we run into Excuse me.
Please go ahead. No, please go ahead.
Well, one of the gentlemen who helped me the most is an old friend and a business associate, and he has no history of kidney, you know, problems in his family, and his kidney just died, and he had to have a kidney transplant. And I was talking with him on some of the things, and he said, "What will it take to get this started, Ronnie, in dollars?" And because And I told him, and he put up some of the first money that we did on the testing. Now, we did testing through Auburn that is irrefutable, where you had transfer, you know, when they brought them up in sterile jars, and we had ecobiologists and ecotoxologists that were doing the test, and they were sent with overnight to the labs, and then they had chain of command, you know, who touched them and all this stuff. And so we came back with so much stuff that 3M has now had to pay $35 million. Well, we got $50 million so far, but it'll end up being a $1 billion settlement, you know, before it's over. And it is, but we're not the only area that is being affected by this. So, you know, if you were talking about other people wanting to know, and from what I've found out through UAB, and they've got one of the best kidney. As a name for it, but they have one of the best research departments, you know, for kidney disease and so forth. And one of their big things now is they're studying the kidneys with the environment, you know, what's causing these problems through the environment, what do they not know about it, and, you know, what's shutting the kidneys down, and, you know, why are good healthy kidneys just dying, you know, and you're having to go on dialysis, and a lot of it is to do with the environmental issues.
Right. Well, I would bet, you know, I know the environment's important, and there's a lot of interest in nephrology now because agricultural workers in very hot places like Mexico and India and sugarcane workers in Cuba and stuff are coming down with kidney failure. Nobody knows exactly why. But probably they're just getting dehydrated from being worked so hard, and they don't have access to water. So that's a big theme now in nephrology research. But the point I'd like to make is that 90% of kidney failure is from diabetes and high blood pressure. I've actually had a way to prevent dialysis from those two diseases for a quarter of a century. And the nephrology community, including UAB, has been ignoring my protocol for 25 years. So I'm glad they're interested in toxins, but it's not going to really affect the bulk of the dialysis industry, which is about $200 billion a year worldwide, and which can easily be made obsolete in 5 years.
Well, my father was 95, my mother died at 93, neither one of them had diabetes. None of my siblings, five of them, you know, had diabetes, and I developed diabetes. And that is a in direct correlation is what Auburn and the ecotoxologists are finding out now of the PFOS, PFOA, the PFOs. They were destroying the pancreas and other areas that, you know, that ones that, what make sugar for you. And I detoxed. I was on all, I don't know how much of them, but my wife has a tea company. I understand you must be a naturalist just by listening. And of the 12 people that I dove with constantly, 10 are dead. I talked to one of the other one today, and they gave him a due date, you know, less than a year. And I'm the healthiest of all of them, but I use natural medicine to take care of it. If I got a flu, I want an antibiotic, you know, or something. But on long term, that I use natural medicine, and I found that to be much more effective than whatever that the medical community was talking to me about.
Yeah, actually, I'm a regular. A regular internist, and I wish I knew more about natural medicine, but I tend to like pure compounds rather than mixtures. I'm more of a biochemist by training.
I want to use both, you know, whatever works, and then
works. I'm totally for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a question here, guys. Just a quick question. People are asking, what is the UAB?
You know, UAB is the University of Birmingham. It is the biggest employer in Alabama. And it is
okay.
One of the largest medical institutes in the Southeast.
Wow.
A guy named
okay.
David Warnock was a noted nephrologist who established UAB as one of the premier nephrology divisions in the country. He went there about 25 years ago. He's since stepped down, but he brought in terrific people.
Yeah,
okay.
They were
now,
they're so knowledgeable, I couldn't understand them. But I had trust in them, you know, when they started talking about this and that. And they are more than concerned. And they have got two professors doing a full-time study on it right now to publish, you know, on environmental issues with kidneys.
Okay. I've also got another question here. I've got a lady there in Alabama asking if there is a proliferation of dialysis clinics there. She says, in my area, I have seen two clinics show up, and I couldn't understand why. Is there more? There a lot of – okay.
They're dotted everywhere in Huntsville and Decatur and, you know, in this whole area up here. They're building more because the ones that they have can't keep up with the demand, you know, and the doctors are sending them over for dialysis. They keep building more clinics, you know, to have the dialysis done.
Gee, many Christmas. That ought to be a heads up right there that something's wrong. Go ahead.
Well, it's a problem all over. I mean, for 4 years I was up at the Villages in Florida, where there are about 100,000 retirees, so it's Medicare age patients. And DaVita has built basically half a dozen dialysis units there. It's an age dependent thing, and so as the baby boomers age, more of us are going to go on dialysis. The thing is that it's not necessary. I mean, if you're on the right protocol, one that I've been using now, as I say, for a quarter of a century, you can freeze your kidney function, keep it from getting worse, may even be able to reverse it, get it a little bit better. I've got a woman.
Well, I would like to know about that myself. How would I look that up? Because I have so many friends that are having problems that, and we stay abreast of what's happening. So I would like the information on that myself.
Well, I don't know if we can do it for mercury and cadmium. I suspect probably not, because that's pretty special. But if you just have diabetes, which is bad enough, or high blood pressure, with or without diabetes, then we can certainly give it a shot. You just go to our website, which is genomed.com, G-E-N-O-M-E-D, .com, and it on the left-hand side of the front webpage says contact us, and that's all you have to do, and we can take it from there.
Well, that was what I was wanting, the contact information to see, you know, what you're offering, because I have a whole lot of friends in this area that have a lot of serious kidney problems, and it's not inherited, you know, that they're developing kidney problems.
Right.
And they're the first ones in their family to have it.
Right. As long as they've got high blood pressure or diabetes, that can help. If they've got cadmium or mercury poisoning, they probably should get chelation.
I did on mine. I read and read, and then they just don't have the kidney problems in China and other places, you know, like we do here. And the green tea is their main drink.
Right.
And so I went on a high quality, not just an old store bought, but bought, you know, from the volcanic ash. And then my last blood tests were good, you know, had the chemicals out of me, but I detoxed basically with a high-quality green tea. And, the friends that I had that didn't do that are dead.
Oh, God.
So this is oral tea or colonic tea?
This is just like you know, you have black tea, white tea, you know, and green tea from the tea, you know, the leaf. And then your green tea has a, and I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but it's got a chemical substance in it that anything foreign, when you're drinking it, it'll sort of surround it like a Teflon coating, and it'll just flush right out of your body. And so if you're got heavy metals and that type thing, you can't do it by drinking one cup. You have to make it a lifestyle, you know. But if you make it a lifestyle, then it will chelate you. It will take out the foreign chemicals and things in your body. Because I was heavily contaminated, and now I have normal, you know, chemical levels. But the damage it done is done. You know, it's not being repaired. I'm still living with the damage that was inflicted by it.
Wow. Good Lord. This is just, and you know, you'd think the government would step in here, but they don't. It's like they sit back and watch this and take notes, but they don't intervene.
On, you would
the TPA,
not be,
it's the government.
Yep.
They are responsible for it. They're going to do anything.
Yeah.
It's greed and corruption.
Yeah.
They are the ones that got their fingers on the till, and the ones that have, it's just like TVA falsifying those records, you know, and not doing it.
Yeah.
The ADEM director in Alabama, let me tell you one thing so you can understand. Maybe you can get a grasp of it. ADEM is the Environmental, you know, Protection Agency here in Alabama. All right. He worked for a particular law firm which does coal. And they're one of the biggest polluters, period. He was then put in, you know, in Alabama as our environmental protectionist. He was released because that he was for ethics problems, because he was working as the head of our environmental protection in our state, but he was still working for the plants and telling them how to get by them. Then after he was fired and Sessions became the attorney general, he appointed him as fourth district head of EPA. And he's in charge of Atlanta, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, you know, and the Carolinas. And he's, you know, but now the federal government has come in on him, and he's under indictment. But that's because of the things that we've been doing. But now this is not unusual. This is commonplace. That when you think you start, you think, well, I can go to the government and get help. When you go to the government, you find out they're on the
government. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
The government's part of it. I mean, I could tell you stories. As you, But what bothers me is it's happening to younger people. When I started, it was World War II patients, you know, age group. Now I find them, they're very, very young, 30 and 40 years old. And younger.
Did you talk to Brenda? Did you talk to her down there in Cortland? They're having
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to her. She's gonna. She's being honored tonight, correct?
She's the head of the grassroots down there, and she stays up with that community. But we're having babies born that their kidneys don't work when they're born. They're immediately having to go on dialysis just because they're born.
Oh my God.
You know, because they're dead, you know, when they're born. And and that's not, you know, that has to be, you know, from the environment, you know, just for a baby to, that they were actually, their mother was filtering their blood and all, and then when they were born, that quits, you know, so they immediately have to go on dialysis as quick as they're born. So,
it's unthinkable.
Well, it's you can't wrap your head around it, I grant you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, up here, I live up here in the upper Midwest in Minnesota, and the lower quadrant, southeast quadrant of the state, the water is so contaminated, all of it, the groundwater, lakes, rivers, everything, puddles, streams, with atrazine and now with glyphosate from Roundup, that they said it's undrinkable. And they do filter it, but they said it's still heavily contaminated, but they don't have anything else to use, so that you're just going to have to deal with it. This cavalier attitude it's all polluted, but, you know, tough crunchies for you. I don't get it.
Well, write this down so you won't forget it. Write down reverse osmosis. Reverse osmosis.
Reverse osmosis.
That is a filtering system that is quite expensive. We just put one in our waterway, got 3M to pay for it. That takes it all out. It comes down to zero. I mean, it gets it all.
Wow.
And that is what your cities are going to have to go to, and that's one of the things we're pushing for up here. If the plants want to use the water, the people need jobs. You know, so you don't want to just, you know, destroy the industry. But the water doesn't belong to the state. Doesn't belong. It belongs to the people. We're getting it so that if they're going to use the water, that they go through reverse osmosis and they actually put the water back in the river cleaner than it was when it came out. But if you're in a situation, you know, like Flint now, if they went to reverse osmosis, it would bring the water to zero. I mean, it catches it all. All your benzos, all your heavy metals, all your PFOs, and it really is true zero. But the only kickback to it is an expensive process. But what is life worth? You know, would you pay a few dollars more on your water bill a month to have zero contaminated water?
Yes.
So that's
the, yes, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, Israel has been using it. They get their water, so much of it, out of the Mediterranean Sea, and it's been. And now all of your ships, like your big destroyers and your flat tops and all of their water is reverse osmosis, and they have it big enough now they can do cities with it. You know, they can actually pull the water in for the water system and do a city on it. But you're talking $50 million for a city to put this process in. But what you have to do.
This is in Libya before we blew it up. This is what Gaddafi had done. He put a big desalinization plant on the coastline because we'd put all these sanctions against him and tried to wreck him for wanting to go on the gold standard. And he had nationalized the profits from the oil. We can't have that. So he had built a massive desalinization plant, and he was actually greening up Libya, which is a desert country for the most part.
Yeah.
And they were growing their own crops and everything. The first thing we did, of course, was bomb that desalinization plant. But ships and submarines have been using reverse osmosis and desalinization on since they created submarines. We've had this technology. The idea that it hasn't been implemented is absolutely unthinkable. When you think of the cost in medical care.
Right,
go ahead.
Right. The plants are finding out up here, if they had went on and spent the money to do the reverse osmosis on their water systems, they would have been ahead, because now they're going to end up costing them billions to clean up the mess they made. So that's why they're going to have to work backwards, forwards, you know, to clean up the mess and then to fix it so that they can still use the water but not contaminate it, you know, when they're using it.
Right.
So we're progressing.
Wow.
But it's like I tell Brendan, those with me, I said, now don't expect, you know, this can't go in a hurry. We've been taking one bite at a time. But if you take enough bites, it finally gets down to the vitals, and we're getting closer to the vitals now. But it is such a fight, because you're fighting the system, you're fighting the government, you're fighting. So you just take your victories where you can.
And do that too, and that's the worst part of it. Go ahead, Arlene.
Yeah, I have to say that I don't drink water from the tap at all. And reverse osmosis, when you can get it, I use, but I also use purified water. I don't know. I just do not drink water from the tap.
Your water from your tap, from the on your bottled water, it's going to have your benzos out. It'll have your heavy metals and that type thing. But what's so dangerous is the only thing, if that water, bottled water, hasn't gone through a reverse osmosis, then you're still getting your PFOs. And that is one of the most toxic chemicals in the world. You know, in your water.
So you're telling me I'm wasting my money?
Well, Aquafina water.
It's good to have all of the heavy metals and, you know, your that out of your water. But you still got problems with having one of the highest carcinogenic chemicals in the world in your water,
right.
You know, when you get it.
Right.
So
what really bothers me is that dialysis, you have to have a pure system. And I wonder if that is even really being a reality now.
Well,
with our dialysis patients.
Reverse osmosis is required in every dialysis unit. That's the irony.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm glad to know that. Because when she asked that question, I had wondered before, are they putting them through reverse osmosis and, you know, getting out the bad stuff and throwing in the peepos, you know, into the bunch. But
no,
that's what we all are going to go. We're going to all end up on reverse osmosis or be dead, one of the two.
It'd be better to do it at the beginning and spare everybody their kidney function instead of winding up on dialysis and getting your reverse osmosis water then.
Yeah,
because
then it's
true.
That's after the fact instead of before the fact, yeah.
Exactly. We just need to do more prevention and more public health. We used to do a lot in this country. I mean, polio was defeated in the 50s, and we don't defeat any diseases anymore. We just
well,
let them
that's
spend,
what our biggest
make
thing
money
is when they actually come on here and all is to get the public awareness of what you can do to fix the problem, you know, what you can do to keep your kids from having it or your grandkids, is we need reverse osmosis water. You know, at our disposal, you know, especially for the babies and for the kids, because these PFOs in that water, guess what activates it? Heat. So if you boil water for tea, you've activated those chemicals. If you take a hot shower, you've activated those chemicals. You know, if you put it in your food and you heat the water up, you've activated the PFOs. So when you get into it, it just gets worse and worse and worse. So it's just something that people need to take a stand on and with their cities and with other people and just demand reverse osmosis, you know, in their water system.
I've got people asking, what are PFOs? I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly.
Right, but the two that Chemstrand made these, and they made it by accident. One of their chemists was, you know, trying to, you know, to create something, and he ended up creating a slickum, and it was called PFOS and PFOA, which, and the scientific in name is C4 and C8. All right.
Okay.
Now, that wax paper, the Teflon DuPont was just paid a humongous, like $600 million fine for people in their DuPont factories because they were getting cancer from being exposed to it. And then you name it, scotch tape, any kind of tape that's got slickum on it, it's got PFO. Your carpet keeps stuff from sticking to it. Scotch guard that you put on your clothes has got PFO in it. You know, PFO or C8, you say it that way, you know, in it. Well, 3M quit making that. And they had a big thing, oh, we don't make it no more, blah, blah, blah. But what they didn't say is they were making two dozen more, you know, of the same carbon thing. But what's got so bad, let's take a piece of paper like you write on, 8x11, and then you fold it and you fold it and you fold it again. Well, C4 and C8 carbon footprint was as big as that 8x11. So what they did to make it more non-detectable is they made the carbon footprint on it littler. And so now it's terribly hard to catch. And the only thing is, it's got one oxygen atom or one hydrogen atom different, and they call it by a different number. So we've got C2, C3, C5, C7, C12, all the way up to C50-something now. And they were hoping that the government wouldn't crack down on them because they'd have another 30 years before it caught up to them. Well, one of the people that helped me tremendously was Mark Strainer. He is the head of the toxic division of the EPA, and he is a good one. I mean, a really good man. And he came up here and, you know, and found what we were talking about in the water, and that was new. It was so new that nobody even tested for it but EPA. The only way I got my samples tested was to send them to him through Auburn, and then he couldn't tell anybody that he was testing them or they would have shut him down. But it was within his job description to test stuff, so he tested it and sent us back the results, you know, on it. And that's when we found out we had so much in the water. The things, then we started researching. There was 12 people who worked in the lab at 3M where this was made. They all died of cancer in 2 years. And so they knew how carcinogenic it was, and they still continued to sell it and to use it. It was so profitable, they did not want to cut it out, even though they had been caught. And so Mark Strainer come up here, and they did tests on our river, and they found that they were making these on these small carbon footprints and not even identifying them. And some of these are, or if you get exposed to them one time, it's like breathing asbestos. You know, you're going to have problems down the road. And 3M has now admitted that they dumped them into the river. But it's in so many products. That's what I said. The polar bears in the Arctic have them. And so do even the Noah whales. There's not one mammal that they've tested now that don't have PFO in it. And it's almost like one of these scientific horror movies, or it, almost it is. One of the biggest things it does, if you get enough of them in your system, it keeps the male sperm from penetrating the female egg. And in our area, we have more clinics, you know, to help people, you know, pregnant than any other area. It's because we're having a terrible problem with young couples up here getting pregnant. And it's, you know, and it's going to go back to the point that they were involved in the PFOs. Another thing that the ecotoxicologists that I work with are saying, and they're working hard on it, is you know how much of the, what do you call it when the young kids are having now that my mind's not going as fast as my tongue is, where they're eccentric, you know, that type of thing. It's
autism.
Huh? Yes.
I think you're crying for autism.
Well, it's that and something else, too. It's a bigger word, you know, that we've got like 1 in 1,000 now born with it. And
spectrum disorder, Asperger's.
Yeah. Yes, and they are finding out that since it's one thing the whole world has in common, that we all have this in our system. And it's gone from 1 in 100,000 to 1 in 1,000. And they're thinking this is going to be, they're trying very hard to tie it to it. You know, to show that this is the cause, you know, because of the PFOs in the whole world, you know, and all the different stuff that they're used in. And it's going to cost the industry a bunch of money to stop it. But there is no choice but to stop it. It's killing people. So, you know, they're going to have to find a substitute that's not that carcinogenic. And they got caught in tooth and toenail when we had a case up here. On them, and we won, or Carl won, but they came in with like 40 lawyers, you know, against a half a dozen lawyers, but the jury still found for, you know, for the people up here. So the money they can throw at it is unreal.
And that's just it, too. You're fighting money. You're fighting a monolith that has an unlimited slush fund to keep the system going. And they have access to government that you don't have, and you can't get because you don't have that kind of money. So I thank God for that jury. But I keep going back to what you said about babies being born needing dialysis. This is unthinkable. And I can't even imagine a newborn baby needing dialysis. And how long are they going to live?
Well, what you're doing is you've got, and I don't want to get off on a subject that people get mad about, but you've got all of the full-term babies being born up in, you know, being aborted, and that's whether you're getting new kidneys for them.
Oh, my God.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know they parcel out the babies, the aborted babies, yeah. Sell them off.
So, you know, I don't even want to go there, but you just asked me, and that's how they're doing it right now, is they're getting the kidneys from up there, you know, putting them in the babies. but which is another whole debauchery, you know, in my opinion.
Yes.
But but you just can't get upset about it. You can't get sick about it. You just work at it, and you get involved with somebody who is working on it, and you don't expect miracles to happen overnight. You just stay focused, and you take one bite at a time.
Yeah.
Dr. Moskowitz, you know, you said you have you've had a way to correct this problem for 25 years. Can you talk just a little bit about that and how it might be applied to this area?
Well, it's kind of the mainstream way for getting kidney failure, diabetes, and hypertension. It refers to adults, not kids, or certainly neonates, infants. So it's not that relevant to tonight's discussion, but the truth is that most people going on dialysis are adults with diabetes first and hypertension second. And, I mean, that's easily 90% of people on dialysis. And if you prevented them from needing the kidney machine and needing a transplant, your guest was talking about just now, then it would free up all the cadaver transplants for the 10% of people who I can't do anything for. And right now 100,000 people go on dialysis every year in the U.S. and 90,000 because of diabetes and hypertension. If we could keep those 90,000 from losing their kidneys, there would only be 10,000 people who lost their kidney function. It could be from cadmium and mercury in the water. It could be from the glomerulonephritides that I can't treat, like IgA and Alport's, these hereditary kidney diseases. It could be, you know, the relatively few children who go on dialysis for diseases that I can't really treat. There's a lot of anatomical malformations that occur, like ureters that don't drain right into the bladder and back up the kidneys. You can get born, you know, with no working kidneys just because your valves didn't form right when you were developing in the womb. So it does happen, but thank God it's rare. Anyway, if you only had 10,000 people needing dialysis each year, there are already 13,000 cadaver kidneys being transplanted. And you could give every one of those people a cadaver kidney. Nobody would have to go on dialysis at all. And the country, at least, could be dialysis-free.
Wow. I just think it's an amazing thing that this even goes on, that... And, you know, Dr. Moskowitz, we talked briefly there before the show and about, you know, going to the doctor, how it's changed. Everything is profit-driven now. And we have people who want to be good doctors, but who are constrained by, you have 10 or 15 minutes with the patient. You have to, you know, prescribe at least one of these medications, and they have a list. There's all kinds of things that go on there. And it seems to be less about health care and more about taking care of the big company's bank account. And when I see things like this happening, this is a pervasive problem, and here this man has identified a specific area that has massive problems, and the medical industry should be stepping in. They're not. They're not.
Well, what,
and
what,
I don't understand that.
I don't hold the doctors responsible. Their problem, they're as physicians. They fix a problem that already exists. And they have practices and they have patients. And if they step forward in a lot of instances up here, it would destroy their practice, and that would leave people without a doctor. Who the responsibility falls on this is the people. if when it, they find out what's happening, they need to take care of it and not rely on the doctors to put their livelihood, their practice, and everything in saying that I think this is a environmental problem. As quick as they said that in our area, there'd be 10 plants telling their people, do not use that doctor anymore. You know, and who's
right.
that going to help?
Right.
So they just like the doctor you have, he's got plans and ways to fix a problem that exists, but it falls on the hands of the people to stop the problem before it happens, to get reverse osmosis
right.
and to do these things. The doctors can't do that, you know. That takes
no.
people power. And that's where that the people are going to have to get up, pay attention, and then make their voices be heard that we're not going to accept this water anymore. You know,
are you getting much participation from the public around there?
But in here, 70% of them work for the plant. On the backside, we have a lot of participation, but most of it is,
yeah.
you know, they can't say anything. They have to do it behind closed doors, you know, and they help and all.
Right.
They'll lose their job and, you know, and everything. And if they get fired from one plant because something like this, they're not going to go to another one and get a job.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So that's why we're reaching outside of our community to bring it to people's attention, so that if enough people say something, then we've already got 3M backpedaling. They've been caught. They just haven't been punished. They know they've been caught. We've got all the goods, all the irrefutable stuff. But now they're just, you know, their lawyers, they're trying to delay the inevitable, you know, paying up. But that's what has to happen. And usually it all boils down to 2 or 3 dozen people getting it done. But the people need to talk to their friends and the other people, especially the people who have kidney problems and all, and say, you know, we have to let our voices be heard. That this isn't acceptable, you know. We've got to do whatever is necessary to get this stopped, and then support
right.
the people. You don't have to be monetarily support. It's just you just need to support the people that are taking the lead, and you know, and getting it done.
Right. Well, you know, when you talk about people being blacklisted and afraid to speak out, that speaks to me of arguing against whistleblowing. You are doing whistleblowing right now, exposing this on this show. This is a large show. And so the cat's out of the bag on that. But the idea that people should be afraid to stand up for fear of losing their livelihood, this is exactly what whistleblowing is about, is taking that chance and...
Yeah, this has gone on so far now to do anything to us would be, they should have done it, you know, a few years ago. But when I first started, the men in black come to see me, and they asked me what my name, and I told them. And I don't know who it was because I surely didn't ask them. And they said, you know, that there's people that wish you would stop what you're doing, and it would be much better for your health if you would discontinue. You know, doing this. Well, I didn't say I would or wouldn't or anything, and because he said, "Do you understand?" And I said, "I understand perfectly." And I was a whole lot quieter after that for a while. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, I think you deal with your mortality.
Huh.
Too.
Yeah.
I think blowing the whistle, you deal with your own mortality.
So,
every whistle.
I have
well, the other
problem.
Thing. A lot of people a lot of people, because they do out things like this, and especially where these big corporations and money are involved, will actually have a security system put into their home, including video and audio, just for these visits, which I think is a good thing to do, just self-protection. And you have to do whatever you can to substantiate what you're saying and to protect yourself at the same time. The last thing these people want is exposure of any kind, any bad PR. So, you know, we do advise people to put in surveillance with audio and video so that when these things occur, you have evidence that they actually happened. And because otherwise they holler conspiracy theorists and go ahead.
But there was 12 of us, and, you know, 10 died, and Ronnie's on he's got a termination date, you know, my friend. And so that was my motivating. Who's going to talk to these people? Who's going to stand for these people? They're gone, you know. And I knew what I was getting into. And I decided that it was worth it, you know. And I'm just glad that they decided that they didn't want to follow through. And I have had no problem in several years now because everything that we've done has been documented like you're talking about. It has been beyond refute. You know, we have proof that is irrefutable proof. And then, so it's all they're doing is legally fighting it to keep from paying up.
Yeah.
Marty?
Chimney, Chris.
I was going to say, what I was going to say is that to let people know how to contact him. But sometimes people can give you documents and things like that, which they do for us. Give documents and we keep them confidential, but
we can use
the documents. So there is ways that people can help.
But we have people at the plant who've given us testimonials, and they will not be released. They've told us stuff that we could check on and go do this and that, but we have promised them in good faith that we will never release those testimonials unless we inform them and they say yes. But
they
help us because we know to look here or to look there, or they've done this or they've done that, you know, on the things that they've done. One instance was at 3M, they have these holding ponds, which they put stuff in to dry out. Then they're supposed to pick up the sludge in the bottom. A pump went out and it drained the whole pond. Well, the man who fixed it was an Indian. So we found out right quick about it, and we watched to see if they reported it, and they reported a spill of 10,000 gallons, and it was more like a couple of 100,000 gallons in that pond. And then, you know, we have all that documented, but we have enough of the people that are Indians, and we call it, we hear the drums beating, that they report on things, and we just keep it confidential, you know, when they report on it. So if somebody wants to send us something, we would love it so much. And it will not be released. It will be filed where that, you know, it cannot be got a hold of. But we need it if they've got information to help us.
Okay. Can I ask where the EPA is in all of this? I would think they'd be all over this.
Well, that's the one I was telling you, 4th District EPA was compromised. I mean, they're totally corrupt.
Yeah.
But now they're going against the director down there, and somebody told me today that he had resigned. I hope he has. But EPA has tenure, you know, like a teacher does, or like they had when you was, you know, that once they're in there, it's really hard to get rid of them. And there's a lot of the good EPA officials who are wanting to clean up their own backyard, but they're running into problems as how to get rid of them, you know, when they're done.
Yeah.
You just about have to come to court, like what's happened to the guy, and I'm not going to mention names, but he was just the director of EPA, and he was compromised. That's been in political and all kinds of stuff, so we have every kind of documentation on that in the world, you know, how corrupt he was.
Yeah.
And, so now what we can hope is that we get a good one in there, you know, that is appointed through the government that is a good man, not a corrupt man, not somebody who's on the take.
Wow.
And then we can start. We've got somewhere to start.
Yeah.
We can start.
Wow. I'm really concerned about this thing with water across the country. And to hear this is the first I've heard about this situation down there. But all over the country, we're facing contamination issues that are just staggering and have a staggering effect on public health. And that concerns me in that it isn't an isolated event. This is happening everywhere. And they've kept it quiet. Like I say, this is the first I've heard about these issues down there. And we need to get you more coverage on this, get this more public, get this out more. Dr. Moskowitz, is there anything you would suggest that these people could do medically or just to care for themselves while this is going on?
Well, I've been reading about the PFAS, and they're an incredible set of compounds. They make extremely strong bonds, which they use for everything. I mean, they're in Teflon, they're in Scotch Guard, they repel water, they repel grease. They're used for firefighting foam. They're all over the country. And I hadn't heard about them before tonight, and it's not clear how they cause cancer. The epidemiology is that they do. It's like a, you know, whole new field really that needs exploration. Schools of public health should get interested.
I sat down with an ecotologist in Auburn. You know, they was professors here, professors there, dean of the college, and all of this, and they were helping us, you know, down there. And they were talking way over my head, you know, about genes and so forth. And then I asked Barbara, who is had tenure as the ecotologist at, you know, Auburn. I said, tell me how this works so I can understand it. And she says, I'm going to put a tub of genes in the middle of this table, you know, a tub full. And each of us are going to reach in there and pull out 23 of them. But she said, mine's not going to be like yours. Yours not going to be like mine. You know, and we'll all be individuals, even though we're on the human gene pool. But she said that what this does is that these toxins are so carcinogenic that any of us, you know, exposed to this is nearly 100% more likely to have cancer in our lifetime, you know, because of these chemicals. But it's not like asbestos where you're going to get, you know, a particular cancer. Is that they will activate any dormant cancer cells in your body, you know, which we all have. And so she said, I might have pancreatic cancer and you might have stomach cancer. She said the most prevalent cancers are going to be kidney and liver. It's because they're filters, you know, in your body. But she said beyond that, it could just about be anything. Kidneys, liver, and thyroid is like 1, 2, 3, you know, of where the most prevalent. And then from there, she said it's just a mix, and that's pretty much what it is. So that's the problem, is that she says that these are gene-altering, you know, chemicals. And so that if it could actually affect your grandchildren, you know, if you get exposed to it, that goes that far down, that it's not going to be one generation. It's going to be several generations of this effect.
Wow.
That's why. And these weren't doctors, but they were toxicologists, you know, who worked with this type thing, you know, on the
right.
And
right.
They had done public studies and all of this kind of stuff. They're the ones who help doctors, you know, decide how to do stuff or how to, you know, that's why I was so glad to get UAB involved in it, because they have both scientists and doctors, you know, down at UAB. And I'm glad
you're aware of
it now. And I'm just glad the doctor is, you know, is catching up on it, because there's so many people who absolutely know nothing about it. And it is the...
It is the
I don't know how to say it, but it is the biggest culprit, you know, like polio was for a time, the biggest thing. These PFAS are the next largest health concern that we're going to have in our country.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing molecules. They're full of fluorine.
Yes.
The fluorines are highly reactive.
Yeah, I just am amazed at this. I'm just absolutely gobstopped here. Like I say, I had no idea this was going on. I had no idea that anyone was affected to this level, or that the water contamination in any area was quite this bad other than Flint. But someone just noted here that it's by zip code. The biggest determinator of how long you will live is your zip code. And they routinely in areas, zip codes that have low-income families or there are high concentrations of black or indigenous people, these areas are always marked for destruction, so to speak. The experimentation that goes on in those areas, the things like Flint, where they knew the lead was in the water for decades, and the contamination that occurred there and the long-term effects on public health because of it. But the question being asked is, do these things occur in zip codes in, let's say, affluent areas? I would hazard a guess not. They're not going to allow that to happen.
You know where Rome, Georgia is?
Yes, I
sure do. Above Atlanta? Okay. Do you know all the carpet factories they got up there? All right. They polluted the Little River, which runs into the Coosa, which runs into the Tombigbee, which runs into the Alabama and goes into the ocean with PFOS.
Right.
They were putting on that carpet and washing it out. And just through the carpet industry there, they polluted that whole river with these PFOS, you know, and they had to change the water supply and the system. So it depends. So many of these chemicals go into other things. Now, to give you an idea, so you'll understand because you're new to this, it's only right now the law says you can only have 70 parts per trillion, and most of your pollutions are in parts per million. Parts per billion, but that's 70 parts per trillion. So one drop out of a nose dropper would pollute 10 Olympic swimming pools. That's how bad it is. One drop. And then they just, 3M had been burying the stuff, and they just uncovered barrels and barrels and barrels of it on a man's land that private contractors had hid. Now we're talking about thousands and thousands of gallons of this that one drop would contaminate 10 Olympic swimming pools. And that's at 70.
What are they
going to
do with those? How are they going
to
dispose of it?
They'll have to
incinerate
them.
Oh, my God.
That's what apparently, that's what 3M said they should do in the first place, was incinerate them. And
run them through a reverse osmosis. The reason they don't is the reverse osmosis catches it, but then you got to have somewhere to put it. And so they've been putting this in the city dump up here, which is run by the county, and it's corrupt because it's not even recognized as a toxic dump site. This toxic dump site, then, as it runs over, all of that water runs into a ditch, goes to the sewage system. The sewage system only treats bacteria, nothing for chemicals, and it's flushed right into our river. You know, with no treatment whatsoever.
Yep. We've got a big 3M plant here in Minnesota. And
Minnesota is one
I'm
going
to have to look in.
You're home of 3M.
They just settled $850 million in Minnesota. Yeah, that was one of the biggest things 3M. You just had one of the biggest settlements, the state fined them. And that was just a few months ago. The state went against them. And y'all got horrible people problems in Minnesota, but people aren't aware of it.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's the home state of 3M. And the state actually went against them. Our state's so corrupt it can't go against them. They'd be going against themselves. But Minnesota, actually, the state prosecuted and won and got an $850 million settlement, you know, from 3M. And that's in your state. And, you know, it's going to end up in the billions, but the problem is to keep them, you got to have watchdogs like you've got Mark Strainer, who's a good EPA, to keep them from changing the carbon footprint and changing all of this with the same. You have the, you know, instead of having a grape popsicle, you have a orange popsicle, but it's still a popsicle. And that's what they've been doing. And but now we've got enough people and scientists working on it and familiar with it. They're having a hard time hiding stuff, and that's what you got to have.
Okay. All right. You talk about these barrels of this stuff sitting around, and you said the way to dispose of it is to burn it. But what's that going to do to the air? I mean,
well, when they incinerate it, they have the smokestacks that catch anything, you know, that comes out of it. That's it's got to be a certified, you know, incinerator, you know, to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That they do it. Now they.
But you're burning the carbon and then separating it from the fluorine.
Right. And
and then you're just capturing the fluorine as what? As hydrofluoric acid?
I'd have to ask my scientific friend, but they say you can incinerate it, so I trust them.
Right.
You know, they know what
carbon becomes carbon dioxide. I mean, it becomes much – that's carbon dioxide, not so great for global warming, but – at least it's not going to cause cancer.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not as bad as the cow fart.
Yeah,
oh,
there you go. Yeah, we're kind of caught any way we go. You know, with this makes me think of here, you know, when they had the storms, the Katrina down there in Louisiana, and here they found where they had stored these 50-gallon drums of nuclear waste in a salt dome. Below sea level, who in their insane mind thought this one up? And they were concerned that these barrels were bouncing around in there as this dome was dissolving. The things we do, humanity, the things we do just absolutely stagger my mind.
Have you ever seen a water truck that's, you know, that they go down and they water the roads with, like when they build in roads and stuff? You know, it's got a tank, and it's got these water distributors. Well, in the county, a lot of times, really dusty, the county will take water if you got a pretty, you know, a pretty good sized community on these gravel roads, and they will wet the roads so that the dust, you know, is not so bad.
Right.
Well, 3M was putting these chemicals in water tanks, and they had hired contractors, and they were going out into the poor black sections of Cortland and Town Creek down here, where it's like 90% poor blacks, and they were wetting the road down with these chemicals, and people thought that it was the county just watering their roads, but no, they were dumping these chemicals on these gravel roads, and now these people are just horrendous health problems down there because the CDC come up and check some, but they're afraid to come in because they're gonna get government agencies if they come in. But all the gardens and everything they checked were contaminated. People couldn't even raise a garden anymore in that area. And so now we've got the ground is contaminated, and they can't even raise a garden.
It reminds me what they did in Missouri to live in St. Louis, and they would water the dust, spray down the roads with dioxin. Contaminated compounds and entire towns had to be evacuated.
Right. Well, that's what they did to these poor black communities. They run these tankers, and they thought they was just, you know, damping the dust down for them, and they was dumping pure carcinogenic toxins, you know, on their, and it got into the water system, got into their wells, it got into their gardens. And their land has just been condemned. And they have, what are they going to do? These people depend on their gardens, and they can't even raise a garden.
Yeah.
You know, without having foods that are contaminated.
Gee, many Christmas. This is just absolutely, I don't even know what to say, that they get away with this. That you know the government knows what they're doing. You know they do. And they allow it to happen.
The government's part of it.
When Brenda went
Medicare.
To Washington, and she talked to the EPA up there, and they said they know they had a problem, but they did not know how to address it because government agencies, you know, were involved in it. And they were supposed to come up here 2 months ago and talk with me and talk with Brenda and a couple of more. And as of yet, we haven't seen them because I don't think they really know how to deal with it. It's, you know, once they start.
Yeah,
it's going to be like dominoes, you know, the people who's responsible for it. And so they've admitted that they don't know how to handle it, you know, because there's so many agencies involved in, you know, what happened up here that one of them can't point the finger unless it's pointing directly at a government agency.
Right. Well, and the thing is, even if you corrected the problem today, the number of people that have already been made sick or who have paid with their lives for this, that can't be reclaimed. How do you compensate for that?
That's why we're going to try to work on a money that we're talking to lawyers that we can get a fund set aside like they do on asbestos or like they're doing now on the Roundup. Mm-hmm. Where there is a fund there when these people, the doctors, that will be the doctors. When everything is out and the doctors have the information from the ecotoxicologist, or this is what causes this type of kidney problem and so forth, that the doctors can say, yes, this was an environmental problem, then they can come in line for free medicine and Medicare and compensation for their, you know, health. And that's where we're headed with if they get that done so that these people... Because they don't have any money. I mean, there's these poor communities.
Right.
Most of them, their income is less than $20,000 a year, and that's nothing. And and so they don't have the resources to go. They have to go to free clinics and all of this kind of stuff to even get help.
Right.
Well, take the example of dialysis, not PFAS mediated, but just plain old genetic. Diabetic and hypertensive dialysis, it affects blacks 3 to 5 times more than whites. For pure genetic reasons, it affects Hispanics 3 times more than whites. It affects minorities, in other words, who tend to be poor, more than the majority. There's only one government agency involved with it, namely Medicare. I went to Medicare in October of 2004, told them they could cut 7% of the budget and keep 100,000 Americans alive every year, and Medicare had absolutely no interest because it meant the end of their salaries. 7% of their salaries would be cut.
It gets to the point that you're talking to a brick wall. You know what you're saying ain't soaking in; it's just bouncing off. You know, I don't care what kind of facts and figures you have or what you do. You just have to keep going till you get an ear that is listening. And then
they don't care.
Well, right. Well, the people who we're paying to care for us are looking the other
care.
Way.
Yeah.
We have more accountability over
payoff.
Those guys.
You know, either they're looking the other way or they're getting paid off under the table to look the other way. Mm-hmm.
Or
so
both.
Well, the thing is,
yeah.
I've been talking for years about the fact that the federal government owes Social Security around $4 trillion that it has taken from that fund. They owe it another $760 billion that they used to fund Obamacare. I have said this is one of the drivers in this hospice thing, in dialysis and letting people die or forcing them to die ahead of the time they should have. All of this, to me, is intertwined. What they're trying to do is reduce the number of claimants, and they're trying to offset it. Now, just recently, in the last week, the Republican wing of this one giant vulture tried to run a bill that would have wiped out that debt to Social Security. And as I understand it, it didn't pass yet, but they'll come back again. They don't want to. They had no way to pay this money back, and they keep taking more money out of Social Security. The only way they can balance the books is to get rid of the number of people making claims. So this is one of the drivers of Social Security is to allow these things to go on. People die of, they think, things that are unfixable or whatever, or by the time they do tend to it, so many people have died, they've recouped their expenses. This is why Medicare is absolutely a wasteland when it comes to getting help for the actual patients. Go ahead.
Going back to what you said, Doc, about the black people being more susceptible to it. Now, UAB, I sit down with them, they went across this with me, and they said this is a black community that's having so much of the problem, but we're going to have to look back for – as far as medical records to go to see how much, kidney problems they had per percentage of people and so forth. because he mentioned the names of stuff, which I can't remember for anything, but he was saying that this study that they're doing is taking all of that into consideration, just that they are more susceptible to it, but the type of kidney problems that they're having and so forth is they're looking like they've been more environmental than they are, you know, hereditary. But they're doing all the studies that the doc was talking about, that because they are more susceptible, you know, to the kidneys and all. But they're basically having the same amount of kidney problems with the white community as they are the black community, percentage wise down there.
Okay.
Yeah, that could well be toxic, environmental.
Yeah. So they were. I'm convinced that they know what they're doing anyway, and I'm not a doctor, but you can tell when somebody knows what he's talking about. You know, when I was talking to him, and they're dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's. So I will be so glad when that study is finally published, that, you know, to see what they've come up with.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you. I really do. This was no easy.
Well, Arlene, you're 20 years and 80,000 documents. You found that 80% of the people that were involuntarily ejected from dialysis were black.
Are minorities.
So, you know, this is no accident. This is no accident.
Well, it's a disposable, it's a acceptable loss, a disposable group of, you know, of individuals.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Not people to them, you know. When they're shuffling numbers,
yep.
And unfortunately, the black numbers get pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you, are
you getting support from the NAACP?
Brenda is. She is black, you know. And her and I are very good friends. I have a lot of black friends, but... I work with the Indians up here, and she works with the blacks. And the Indians all the way back to whenever, and the blacks had no problem with each other. And so we have a very good working relationship.
I'll tell you, I've been trying to make contact with the Indian population because they have an outrageous amount of diabetes, and half of the diabetics go on the kidney machine, so that there's a dialysis unit in every reservation now.
Yeah.
And I would love to try to prevent dialysis in the Indian population. If any of your Choctaw friends want to contact me,
I'm Cherokee, but now
you're Cherokee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one of the men that I work with and I went to school with and all is the chief of the Northeast Cherokees, and I could sure put you in touch with him, and he would be glad to work with you.
I'd love it. I'd really love it. I'm sorry. Got your tribe wrong.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, there is over a quarter of a million Indians in Alabama, and there's several different tribes, the Cherokee being the largest, you know, up here. I'm an Echota, and then Larry is the Northeast, you know, Cherokee, but he is the chief of the Northeast. So, and he does, you know, he would be definitely interested. My email is warriorsforcleanwater@gmail.com.
And mine is... Mine is dwmoskowitz@genomed.com.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Good. You're there and you've got both this information. If you would text me his information and maybe text him my information, that would help both tremendously.
Will do.
There you go. Good Lord.
And
my head's exploding.
This is fallen networking.
Yes. P.S. This is just staggering, Arlene.
I'm speechless. Would you believe that?
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yes, Yeah.
I couldn't even interrupt. I was so busy listening, and I appreciate this. And I think you and Dr. Moskowitz will be a great plus to this.
Yes.
I hope we do some damage against what's going on. I mean, I never heard of this compound till tonight, but it looks, it says in the on Wikipedia that it's the new PCBs, you know, that was a big rage in the 70s and 80s.
Well, this is a nightmare that you could wake up and the whole country could be infertile. How about that? You know.
And
so,
well,
you know,
if it's hard press is a... Go ahead.
That said, you know, it's kind of hard to put it in context of how dangerous it really is.
Yeah.
No, one dropper in a little-sized swimming pool, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, one drop, 10 Olympic swimming pools, not one. One little drop. You're talking about parts, you know, it's 0.70 parts per trillion, 0.70 parts per trillion contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole lot of numbers.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of, it's staggering to think of. It's just, and that they're allowed to produce this stuff to begin with. That's what gets me. If you know something is this dangerous and this much of a contaminant, why would you allow any industry to produce anything like I don't.
You can protect yourself, Marty, and it's all about you, period.
That's what it's got to be about, is the people says enough is enough, that we want clean water and we're going to demand reverse osmosis, because it's got to the point that that's the only thing that'll clean it up. You know, charcoal filters won't clean it up. Nothing, activated charcoal, nothing gets rid of it except reverse osmosis. So within the next few years, you need the water systems going to reverse osmosis, and then we can have clean water and we'll stop. I mean, it's just that simple. It'll stop.
There's another toxin that's about this bad, plutonium. And there's still an industry that generates plutonium, like the nuclear power industry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We got a lot of public health challenges.
Yes.
If we can't get our water clean, we're all going downhill. So the first thing we can do is quit putting stuff in us and quit showering. Our body is our biggest organ, and so you got this stuff coming through and you're heating it up in hot water and you're activating it and you're absorbing it right through your skin.
Oh my God.
No more
we're down to
you,
the last couple
I've really learned
here. Yeah, you and me too. I'm gonna have to look more into this. We're down to the last couple minutes here. Dr. Moskowitz, I want to thank you for coming on, and our special guest there too. You took a chance stepping out here with this. And but I want to do more with you on this. Arlene, maybe you can set that up. We need to talk more about this, get more out there on it, and really make this a public issue. Because I had no idea this was happening. And I'm always got my nose stuck in somewhere. Just absolutely no clue this was going on. So we really need to work to expose this, especially for the dialysis patients that are already facing hardship and a hard life to begin with.
The people whose kidneys are in danger now, if they know about it, you know, there's even the doctor can tell you there's ways to chelate your body besides natural, that you can get chelation. That they need to be on chelation to get it out of their system, and maybe their kidneys won't die. It's preventative to me. It's like the doctor said, take care of it first. And what he's saying, you know, what he's got on the what he's developed is, you know, preventative. So even if what he has don't do it, and you think it's environmental, then you need to be getting rid of this out of your body. And if you get it out of your kidneys, then if they're not too far gone, they'll kill themselves.
What does UAB say?
We've got less than 60. I'm sorry, but we've got less than 60 seconds left here. I want to thank you both for coming on. We need to revisit this and do more on it. Arlene, I'll leave it to you to set that up. I want to remind everybody these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, taking place at the end of July and every year in Washington, D.C. The public is cordially invited, and we need to have this there. Ooh, I'm telling you, we do. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Doctor, thank you. Arlene, thanks for setting up this show. And to our friend there in Alabama, we're with you. Just hang in there with us. And with that, I'll say good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.